You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Combine's biggest combination, JJ, and number five, Book It, will explain the huge shakeup at the top. Meanwhile, he may be fast, but the action on Justin Fields is slow. We'll tell you exactly what the Bears need to do and why they need to do it right now. Plus, talk. A whole lot of words out of Big D, but we'll make sure you hear the only one that really, really matters. All that and more. Here we go. It is a Monday. And we are ready to get up with you on the squad, as you can see in place here, coming off the combine. Lots of football conversation. Plus, Hawk will join us momentarily. Plus,
Heidler
on the basketball. Plus, Andrea Carter on Clayton Clark. We have a lot planned today. But let's wrap up the combine to begin with some superlatives. Tannenbaum, I'm coming to you first. As we look back on the weekend, who was the biggest eye-opener at the combine?
Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia. You can see him running here, Greedy. 4.39 combined with incredible production at Georgia. 119 catches over 2 years. There is no way he gets out of the first round. You are looking at a first-round wide receiver in Ladd McConkey.
Speaking of wide receivers, Graz, who generated the most buzz?
Yeah, there was a lot of chatter about the possibility of Malik Nabers going ahead of Marvin Harrison Jr. when all is said and done in this draft. He is highly thought of. At the very least, the gap between those two is not the size that we might have imagined it to be, and it is possible that Nabers, depending on who's picking and what they want, could go before Marvin Harrison Jr.
Could be the best wide receiver draft that we've ever seen. Orlovsky, let's finish, of course, with your specialty. Who was the most impressive quarterback?
Yeah, Michael Penix Jr. out of Washington. I had someone who was in the building say, the ball just comes off of his hand different than everybody else. Now, I know the top three quarterbacks, at least that we expect to go in the draft, did not throw, but the ball just jumps out of Michael Penix Jr.'s hands. And the fact that his medicals were really positive as well, I think coming off of the two seasons that he had at Washington and the performance on the field and then what he did at the combine, he's got a chance to creep back into that first round conversation.
Yeah, most of the mocks that we're seeing right now don't have him there, but it would not be a surprise if he winds up there. Most of them have five quarterbacks in round one. He might make a sixth. We will see if that winds up happening. In the meantime, a lot of teams in the NFL are weighing the possibilities of drafting J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., or trading for Justin Fields. Now, that's a name that has been out there a lot this offseason. But Adam Schefter reiterating something that you said here with us on Friday on Get Up, that right now the trade value on Justin Fields is not what we expected.
I don't think the market is quite as robust as the Bears and Justin Fields would like it to be. There's been a lot of speculation on Atlanta. I think Atlanta would be something of a surprise right now to trade for Justin Fields. There's been some conversation about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Maybe something could be figured out there. The Las Vegas Raiders might have some interest. But there's not this huge number of teams lined up to trade for Justin Fields as the Bears look to find a home for him before free agency begins in about 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, 10 days is the point. A week from Wednesday, the legal tampering, my favorite expression in sports, begins a week from today.
Hey, right,
the new league year is a week from Wednesday, and you actually use that exact word, robust, on Friday to describe what the market isn't for the Bears and Justin Fields. What gives here?
Well, I think Adam mentions it, the two teams that we went into the combine thinking were the favorites, Atlanta and Pittsburgh, don't seem to have the level of interest that we anticipated that they might. So who does? He mentioned the Raiders. Now, the Raiders just hired Luke Getsy, who was Justin Fields' offensive coordinator in Chicago the last couple of years. There would be some continuity there. I guess you could argue that could be a good thing. Maybe it's a bad thing if they didn't necessarily connect. So the market starts to thin out a little bit, and you wonder, is someone going to make a Justin Fields trade and bring him in as their unquestioned starter, or do we need to expand this list to include places where he might not be that, where he might either be a backup or in a competition for at least the first year that he's there. So the Bears want to trade him. I believe they will trade him, assuming they're going to stay and pick Caleb Williams at number one, which I think we all believe is the case. But it may not be the kind of return they were initially hoping for.
So you're my general manager here. The offices of Greenberg and Tannenbaum are now officially open. You're the general manager, as you were. If the market isn't what you expected it to be, does it behoove you to wait until some other market force comes into play? Someone doesn't get who they want, someone gets injured, et cetera? Or does it behoove you to cut your losses and move now?
We got to move right now, because when Caleb Williams walks through the door, the last thing you want if you're Matt Eberflus and the Chicago Bears is, hey, Justin Fields looked better in 7-on-7 today, and who's going to get what rep? That's not fair to either quarterback. And Greeny, you're making a great point. I look at this next group of teams like Minnesota, assuming they lose Kirk Cousins, Denver, Raiders, Saints, even a team like Seattle, I would think they would have some interest at some point in Justin Fields. But economically, Greeny, this is really important. You look at a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're saying, hey, we could go pay Kenny Pickett about $4.5 million for 2 years, or with Justin Fields, assuming the fifth-year option, $28 million. So now money becomes part of this discussion.
Here's part of this conversation. When people were saying Justin Fields, first or second round pick, it was like, what? How is that going to happen? Okay, number one, this draft has got really talented players at the quarterback position. So if your team's sitting there saying, it's going to cost me a second round pick to go trade for Justin Fields, and I really get 1 year with him to figure out big payday or not, or take that second round pick and invest it into a quarterback to try to go up potentially, it's obviously go to the rookie. So that, number two, everyone knows Chicago's taking a quarterback, and it sounds like they're going to take Caleb Williams. So everybody knows that they're going to move off the player in some capacity, right? I think teams have to figure out two questions in relation to Justin Fields, because if Chicago's going to take Caleb, they have to figure out this. Number one, where does Justin Fields sit with his own doubt? I say this all the time. I don't care who you are. When you go through this type of failure and tumultuous start to your career, the doubt of, do I actually belong in the NFL, becomes very real. Now, maybe there's levels to it. Number two, this will be his third offense in 4 years. So for the team that is going to acquire Justin, you have to unequivocally believe doubt is not an issue for him, and that he's not only going to learn this offense third in 4 years, but then he has to go and play well in it in a very short span, and I have to make a decision whether I'm going to pay him or not.
Can I just throw a team at you, for example? I've been on the Steelers bandwagon for the longest time, and I do not mean this to be disrespectful, but let's just analyze. I believe Kenny Pickett's ceiling is here,
sure,
and Justin's ceiling is
what's
way
it gonna cost
up
you?
Here. You tell so a second round pick?
It's second round pick is steep right now for a guy. Greeny, again, that means you have a second round pick investing into Justin Fields. And then you still have that first-round pick for Kenny Pickett, who's going into his third year.
Yeah.
And both of those guys, you have to make a massive decision on for the now and the future. Who gets the reps? Who gets the playing time?
You tell me. Go ahead.
But, Greeny, there's one other thing. When you're balancing this, it's about $23 million, and here's why. So if we're the Steelers and we acquire Justin Fields for a second-round pick, we're exercising next year's option. So roughly, he's a $28 million.
You mean automatically, or that's like the no-brainer decision?
The no-brainer decision.
Okay.
So we're going to pay him $28 million for 2 years, or we could say, hey, we got Kenny Pickett under contract for next year for roughly $4.6 million. So for the next 2 years, do we want to pay $4.5 million or $28 million? So if we think Justin Fields is that much better, and I think that's part of what Pittsburgh's saying, is we have Arthur Smith. Let's see what he can do with Kenny Pickett, and then we'll make that decision. But you brought up something else that's really interesting to me, which is, if the market's not there, this is going to be a long time coming, because you go back to the Eagles. The Eagles draft Carson Wentz. They're going to play Sam Bradford. And unfortunately, Teddy Bridgewater gets hurt, and that's when that trade happens. So if this trade doesn't happen by next Wednesday, Greeny, when does it happen?
Listen, respectfully, if you're telling me the difference over the course of 2 years between Justin Fields and Kenny Pickett is $24 million,
it is.
You go get Justin Fields.
That's what I'm saying.
$24 million over 2 years?
Yeah,
you go get Justin Fields. Just because this would be – Pittsburgh's offense by far would be the most talented that he's played with. Pittsburgh's offensive line started to run the ball really well. Arthur Smith loves to do that. The perimeter players are by far better than what he's had over the course of his career in Chicago with some of the talent that they have. So if that's the financial – mm-hmm. Difference, that makes it, sounds like an easy decision for Pittsburgh.
Plus the pick.
The pick, the
right.
Second round pick, yes.
Groz was our eyes and ears on the ground in Indy all weekend long. The sense I'm getting, I went into this thinking, Kirk Cousins is just going to stay in Minnesota.
Right.
I think I have come out of this week, you correct me if I'm wrong, getting the impression that is anything but a certainty at this point.
It's not a certainty. It still could happen. I think Minnesota sort of knows what he wants, and the question is, can they get there in terms of the contract? If they can't, he'll be a free agent, I believe the Atlanta Falcons and other teams will be interested in
signing. That's my point, is that the Falcons, I think... I'm putting dots together. You tell me. You're a reporter. I'm just sitting here watching all this stuff happen. So if the Falcons are not as interested in Fields right now, in Fields, because they think they can get Cousins. Now, they wake up next Thursday morning. Something has happened. They didn't get Cousins. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, Fields might become a much more attractive.
No, this is why
this
draft.
I think Atlanta's top choice, if they can get him, is probably Kirk Cousins. And then their second choice would be to look into the draft. They're picking eighth. It could get a quarterback there, or they could move up if that's necessary to get the guy they want. I think that's the way Atlanta's looking.
And Greedy, again, it goes back to three could be available if New England wants to give Mac Jones another year, and five with the Chargers, because now with J.J. McCarthy working his way up, someone's going to come up to five, in my opinion, to get
his guy.
Yeah, but here's my point. If I'm Minnesota, I'm sitting there thinking, like, I don't like Kirk Cousins' offer today, but maybe it's too expensive to get up to five or to three.
And you see these picks. If the Jaguars were to sign Calvin Ridley, then the Atlanta would get an extra second-round pick.
So there's a lot there. And we will continue to dive into it. And we will have much more on all of this as we continue, including the words coming out of Dallas. I mean, as always, it's talk, talk, talk. A lot of words coming out of there. But there was one that really mattered, and we'll make sure you hear what it was. Plus, we have everything else covered today, including the beatdown in the NBA. Did you see what the Celtics did to the Warriors? We'll tell you why it is now or never in Boston. Legler will be along as we continue. It's Get Up on a Monday on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Welcome back on what is a difficult day for all of us in our ESPN family as we are grieving the loss of one of our own. Where does one begin to describe Chris Mortensen, longtime NFL reporter who died yesterday? He was a true journalist. He was one of the most trusted and respected voices when it came to breaking and reporting on news in any sport. He was so much more than that. He was a mentor and a friend to many, including our Adam Schefter, who has these thoughts on the impact of Chris Mortensen.
It's easier to ask someone about dying once he is broken free of its grasp, as my friend, my mentor, and my on-air partner, Chris Mortensen, once did. After Mort was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer in 2015, before fending it off in 2017, he was asked what he would think and what would go through his mind if he knew he were dying, as he almost did. Mort said he would think of all his incredible life experiences, how blessed he has been, even with the heartbreaks along the way. He also added he would be sad to say goodbye to the people he loved, but he would be going to a place of glory. Chris Mortensen was born in Torrance, California, outside of Los Angeles in 1951. He served 2 years in the Army during the Vietnam War, married his wife Mickey and raised his son Alex, and established himself as one of the greatest reporters of all time, while being an even better man. Mort began his reporting career at his hometown newspaper, The Daily Breeze, before moving on to cover the Braves, Falcons, and the NFL at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. In 1990, he was among the first reporters hired for the all-sports newspaper, The National. Mort arrived at ESPN in 1991. He left behind the newspaper business to work on the NFL studio shows, SportsCenter, the NFL Draft, and ESPN Radio. He was the reporter who could get to the bottom of the most difficult stories, yet still be the biggest prankster at the network, capable of making any and everyone laugh.
Loosen up my shot and give me a little more headroom. We do not like a lot of face of me. That's actually in my contract, by the way.
Mort was the one who knowingly and wittingly set up former Colts executive Bill Tobin for one of the most memorable sound bites in NFL draft history.
You know, we got a guy up there. Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
Mort impacted everyone he knew, often in ways he didn't even realize. A short time after Mort revealed he was battling stage 4 throat cancer and taking leave from ESPN, then Cardinals wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald scored a game-winning touchdown that advanced Arizona to the NFC Championship game. In the heady moments of his heroics, Fitzgerald still thought enough to send out a message to the man who had been on so many people's minds.
Mort, I want to tell you, man, we're thinking about you and fight, baby. Love you, Mort.
Everyone did. After Mort checked into the hospital in 2016, Peyton Manning delivered the scoop of his retirement for Mort to report while he battled cancer. The Mannings had known and trusted Mort for so long that there was no other consideration for giving that story to anyone other than Mort. And yet, while he made his living reporting on some of the toughest guys in sports, nobody was any tougher than Mort himself. Mort battled back from a veritable death sentence. He endured intensive radiation treatments. He lost his hair, weight, but never his sense of humor, spirit, nor fight. He often showed up on TV when he was too tired and worn down to do it. It went on for years, like his own fight to regain his health. And yet, through the years, Mort remained ESPN's reporting conscience, its most senior and trusted voice. He had seen so much, knew so many, and established himself not only as one of the greatest football reporters in history, but one of the greatest sports reporters in history. It is just one reason why so many turned to him for guidance on stories that mattered, because he did. Mort was a pioneer in this business, one of the first reporters to transition from newspapers to TV, making it possible for so many others to follow a similar path. Fred Gedeli, the legendary producer of NFL games, once said that if there were a Mount Rushmore for ESPN, Mort unquestionably would be on it. Mort was nominated for 2 Pulitzer Prizes, wrote 2 highly acclaimed books, won 18 journalism awards, was selected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame as the Dick McCann Award winner in 2016,
and became the only sports writer other than the great Red Smith to win the George Polk Award for reporting. But Mort really didn't need any awards to validate his greatness. Other aspects of a life well-lived already accomplished that. And here's the truth about a man we loved as much as we respected. If someone's life makes you sad when it ends, it's because it was wonderful when it happened. Mort truly was. He lived a life that touched so many others, full of faith and purpose, all leading to his ultimate and final accomplishment. Chris Mortensen is headed to his place of glory.
Just beautifully done by Shefty. And as the news was circulating yesterday, obviously all of us had a lot of thoughts, those of us fortunate enough to have known him well. So we thought we would just set aside a few minutes here for each of us just to say a word or two. Dan, what are your thoughts today?
First, I echo your thoughts on Shefty. That was really well done. I know they were super close. I don't know, you know, Mort incredibly well. He's one of the kindest people I've ever met over the, you know, 2 or 3 years I did get the chance to know him. You know, when the news broke yesterday, for a guy that is one of the greatest ever at what he did, no one, if anybody, talked about how good he was at his job. Mm-hmm. You know, on social media, it was just this overwhelming, the human being that Mort was. And I think, you know, thoughts are with his family. I take solace, and I was texting with Daniel Jeremiah this morning. I know they were very close, of just knowing, I know what Mort believed in and who Mort believed in, and I know Mort believes where he's going, and you kind of rest in that a little bit, but definitely thoughts with his family. But the overwhelming emphasis on the human being and the character that he had was impressive to see.
Yeah, it's all real. I mean, look, he, it's tough. He was so welcoming and helpful and generous with his time and his advice. Adam used the word conscience in there. He was like the reporting conscience. He was like, if you know, he's the reason we don't call the day after the season when the coaches get fired Black Monday anymore. You have to think about these guys and their families, and you have to think about the impact this has when people lose jobs. Hated it when we would go on air and speculate about coaches losing their jobs, et cetera. I'm not wearing a pocket square today because Mort hated those. Mm. He always said, like, real reporters don't wear pocket squares. So I thought of that today when I was getting ready to come in. But look, I to be able to come to ESPN when I did, which was, you know, 13 years ago now, and to be embraced by somebody who was that well established at what he did and what I was trying to do, to be supported, to, like, when you broke a story, to get the text or the call from him that was, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, he was so fired up for you, to be able to call him when you needed help getting that story from, you know, 95% to 100 to get it over the line before you could report it. Like, he just had so much to give and to offer, and he did it so joyfully because he loved what he was doing. And, I'll miss him.
You know, for me, I knew him in two different contexts. One, running two different teams. You know, he was incredibly thorough and fair. And I always felt like he knew so much more than he ever reported for the sake of a relationship. And he was such a professional. And I always admired that about him. Like, he could be really tough, but I never felt like it was unfair. And then transitioning to ESPN, he was the best teammate and friend. Yeah. Mm. He irrationally invested so much in me and gave me meaningful feedback so I could be better at this job and in ways that I could never repay him. And, you know, that's the difference of a friend, like helping somebody and expect nothing in return. And I'm just, you know, proud and privileged to have had the relationship I did, and he made me a better person.
Yeah. I mean, all the years, every week on Mike and Mike for, I don't know, 15 years, 16 years, whatever it was, he gave credibility to our show that frequently didn't deserve practically any by coming on and playing along with our jokes and our silliness. And I think Dan said it well, and I'll do about 20 minutes of this on the radio today, so when we have more space and time. But they always say of people, he was an even better person than he was a professional. And that obviously can't always be true, but in Mort's case, it most certainly was. We will miss him, and we will treasure his memory for as long as we live. Mort is survived by his wife, Mickey, his son, Alex, and all the people who have come to love him over the years, those who knew him and those who didn't. We'll be right back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back on Get Up. Wake up call here. Caitlin Clark for history yesterday.
This for college basketball history. She does it with a foul shot. Caitlin Clark becomes the all-time leading scorer in major college basketball history. Passing Pistol Pete Maravich. A record that's lasted for 54 years.
One of those things you were sure you would never see broken. And Caitlin Clark broke it yesterday. She is the highest scoring Division I player in history. By the way, she also holds the Big Ten record for assists and three-pointers and is chasing the Division I record for threes as well. She is the only men's or women's player with 3,000 points and 1,000 assists. Andrea Carter will join us later in this hour with perspective on an historic day for a player etching her name at the top of practically every record book in the history of college sports. Now, back to the football we go. Let's go to Graziano, coming off the combine. So much news everywhere. These are the Graziano notes with Dan and his dated photo. Let's start with Saquon. What do we have?
I do try to give more relevant information than that photo is to the present. Saquon Barkley, the head of a running back market that probably isn't going to take off for various reasons we've been discussing for the past year, plus the fact that all these top-end guys seem unlikely to be franchised. However, I did hear from a couple of people that if there's one running back that's likely to set the top of the market, it is Saquon Barkley. He might have the best chance of any of them to get a deal in the, you know, 10, 11, maybe $12 million a year range. If anybody can do that, I think that he will have interest, as will Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. The Vikings and Kirk Cousins have had discussions about extending him. So far, they have not reached a conclusion. That means he is a week away from being an unrestricted free agent, at which time, we've seen this movie before, Kirk Cousins likely to cash in big with a contract. I am watching the Atlanta Falcons, among other teams, as interested parties if, in fact, the Vikings allow Kirk Cousins to hit the open market. Dak Prescott will be on the Cowboys this year. The question is, how much longer will he be? It's 1 year left on his contract. He has a cap number of $59.5 million. The Cowboys are going to have to get down somehow. It's possible they extend his contract, but it doesn't sound like that is imminent. Cowboys can save about $18 million in cap space with a simple salary to signing bonus conversion that does not require Dak's approval. I would think that's the minimum that happens this offseason, and they'll continue to talk about a potential extension, but I don't think it's going to be easy.
Look, if you
wasn't the last time, but
if you're interested in the top of the NFC or in anything really in football right now, this is a front burner story. Dak Prescott's contract situation is going to impact a lot of things. Jerry Jones at the combine, confident he will get this thing done. But listen.
He had one of the best years, as you all know. But the thing that I would point out is that we think that a lot to do with the fact that Mike McCarthy is right there involved in the Dax play more directly and more involved in the offense, and think that there's a lot more to come. So we'll see. We're going to be working on his contract as we get into the future. What we do there or don't do, I couldn't say at this time, but the main thing is that he's going to be our quarterback.
What?
Well, a couple things.
Hawk joins us, by the way. We had some technical, Andrew Hawkins. Good to see you, Hawk. We'll get right to you. What should we take from that?
Well, number one, he's patting himself in the back because he's like, well, the coach did a good job with the quarterback, too. No duh. We understand that the coach impacts the quarterback's play. Dak's had really good seasons before. Certainly last year was his best, but he's had seasons that were very similar in regards to that. The Cowboys, guys, correct me if I'm wrong, have two options. One, they could have moved on from Dak Prescott in totality. That probably would have happened at the end of the season. Or two, figure out his contract to extend him. They're not going to sit here. You just said they can convert 18 of that $59 million to
convert more than 18. They can convert.
So does that drop his cap number to 40?
No, it would drop it. Well, it would drop it by 18. So what is it? What does that mean?
41 or something
30,
like that?
37-ish. Yeah, 41. So that's about the highest cap number in the league this year was Patrick Mahomes at $37 million. The Chiefs managed to overcome that.
They did, and he's Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, again, the number right now is $59.5 million, and there's increasing speculation that this could be – we could be seeing the last season for Dak Prescott in Dallas, yeah?
The thing people have to understand is that Dak Prescott cleaned the Cowboys' clock in the last negotiation. Mm-hmm. He has nothing but leverage. They are not allowed to franchise him.
Right.
They have the monster. Even if they did the conversion to drop the cap number down, next year's cap number is astronomical, over $50 million. If he's not even on the team. So he's in great. He does not have to make one single move unless they do the deal he wants.
Let me hear from Hawk here this morning again. We had some technical issues, so it's the first time we're able to have him jump in. Always good to see you. What is your take on Jerry and Dak and the Cowboys and all of it?
Jerry has no leverage. I think this is a negotiation play, but the problem is that we've talked about before is that he's playing owner and general manager. Dak Prescott has all the cards. He understands that. He knows that. And actually, I don't think Jerry Jones is doing himself any favors by insinuating that the reason for Dak's success is solely because of the head coach. And it does play into the larger issue with the Dallas Cowboys. And when they get in these scenarios, it's why Jerry Jones has not won of recent years.
What do you think of this, Mike T?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, it cracks me up. We're going to give credit to the coach who a couple of weeks ago we weren't going to extend, right? So that juxtaposition to me is fascinating. But fundamentally, Dak Prescott's in the prime of his career, Green. He's going to be 31. He has a lot of great years. And if we're wearing the Cowboys, guys, what I'm saying to each one of you, if not Dak, then who? Get the deal done. Pay the bill.
It's can't too live like that.
Really? Because the alternative is a lot worse. I could give you about 2/3 of the NFL that would give their left leg to have Dak Prescott as their quarterback.
At $60 million?
Not at 60.
Well, okay.
Wait a second.
They're not going to get him.
Here's my thing. If Dak Prescott doesn't play for the Cowboys next year, he'd be the first quarterback in the history of that organization to play for someone else. Tony Romo didn't. Troy Aikman didn't. Danny White didn't. Don Meredith didn't. Roger Staubach didn't. So are the Cowboys really going to let him walk? Are they really going to roll that dice?
Right. And again, to me, what's going to force that decision, guys, like who are you going to go with? Trey Lance? Are you going to bring in Zach Wilson, try to resurrect him? Like, they're not going to be in the top five.
Okay, the Cowboys don't have a culture problem, right? That you don't win 12 games in a row, 3 years in a row, and have a culture problem, correct?
Correct.
That's fair?
Correct.
There's a lot of different ways you can slice that apart. Yeah.
They have a championship. So
I disagree with that because some of the things they're saying on social media about Dak Prescott doesn't happen in other places.
There's also a wide delta between Dak Prescott and let's go get Zach Wilson. I mean, there's some space in between those two things.
The way they look at it, the way the Cowboys look at it, Tony Romo was undrafted. Dak Prescott was a fourth round pick.
Right.
They think they can find these guys. That's their last, whatever, decade and a half.
But they're going to just remain good.
But their championships were all won with Roger Staubach, who won the Heisman, and Troy Aikman, who was the first pick in the draft.
They would point out that having Dak Prescott hasn't helped them clear that bar either.
All right, everyone stay where you are. We have mostly football for you this morning, but there's a lot of other stuff I need to get to. And Legler is ready to roll. Tim Legler gets up with us early this morning. Legs, let's run the floor. We had Oklahoma City knocking off Phoenix yesterday. I don't know how much attention people are paying to the Thunder. What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, I think, first of all, Greeny, is that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an unstoppable offensive force in this league. And I think he's a guy now that's elevated himself to primary MVP status. I think he's going to get a lot of MVP votes. And you saw a team that has incredible chemistry amongst their starters. And the reason, a big part of it has been health, Greeny. They've only missed 10 games total. They're five starters all season, and they're led by a true superstar.
Yeah, speaking of health, let's go the opposite direction. Knicks beat the Cavs, but Jalen Brunson, you will see it right here. This is very early in the game. Looks like they just banged knees, and they may get very fortunate and escape this being as bad as it looked. But the injuries are piling up for the Knicks. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, listen, this is a situation for the Knicks where I really thought after the acquisitions at the trading deadline that this team could really challenge the Boston Celtics, maybe to a higher degree than anybody else in the Eastern Conference. But you've got to get these guys on the court at some point and establish some sort of flow. We are running out of time in the regular season to get all of these guys on the court to establish some sort of rhythm. So it is concerning right now for the Knicks. How far will they fall before they're at full strength? That's the question. Will they be a four seed or potentially in the play-in?
Meantime, it certainly seems like the Celtics are going to be the one seed. They were up 50 points at one point on the Warriors. Well, they won the game by 50, but they were up 50 in the second quarter of this game. Legs, how do you explain what happened yesterday in Boston?
Well, this is basically the perfect storm of the number one offensive team in the league. That is a buzzsaw unlike any other. And a team in Golden State that was at the end of a trip. They were tired. They were shorthanded. Steph Curry didn't even know if he was going to play. I'm sure he now regrets actually playing in that game because he only gave him a half. It was that embarrassing. And I think this is just one of those nights where if you're Steve Kerr, you do exactly what he said after the game, Greeny. You flush this. You don't look at the tape. You don't talk about this game. Your measuring stick, if you're the Warriors, is not the Boston Celtics. Remind yourself of that. It is relevance in the Western Conference right now. It's not the best team in the NBA.
Now, Steph finished with 4 points and playing only one half. So I agree with you. Put the Warriors out of the conversation. Put the Celtics in the center of it. I said it this morning at our meeting. If not now, when? If they don't, where they are an odds-on favorite to win the East at ESPN Bet, if they don't win it this year, when are they going to? If it's the Celtics or the field, which way do you go?
You take the Celtics certainly over the field in the Eastern Conference. Look, I'm not going to automatically assume the Boston Celtics would beat the Denver Nuggets in a seven-game series. And right now, Denver would be my pick to represent the West and their defending champions. The bottom line is this, Greeny. The Celtics are going to need to get it done when it matters most. This is incredible what they're doing in the regular season. And right now, they're not even letting teams be in the game against them, particularly at home. Their margin of victory is the fifth highest in the history of the league. So they're just blasting teams with this deluge that they can hit you with offensively, particularly from the three-point line. 25 made threes last night as an example. But the bottom line is you're going to have to do this when it matters most. And that really falls, I think, on Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. They're going to have to continue to play this way in those big series-defining moments as you move deeper into the season. But make no mistake, Boston has been the best team in the NBA this season, without a doubt. And they are actually playing their best basketball right now as you head down this stretch run toward the postseason. So it's perfect timing for Joe Mazzulla. Now you got to figure out a way to manage this huge lead you have in the East with health, rest, everything else, maintaining rhythm. It's going to be an interesting road the rest of the way for the Boston Celtics, who are certain to have home court advantage throughout the finals.
Absolutely. They look ridiculously good. Legs, stay close by. We'll do some more hoops with you as we continue. We'll also go back to the combine and talk more about the NFL and the decisions that are getting made. What is next for some of these veteran quarterbacks? One of them seemingly has multiple options. The other one maybe not. Dan Orlovsky will weigh in on the ideal landing spots next.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We are back on Get Up. All right, Orlovsky, time for QB quick reads. What is the ideal situation for Kirk Cousins?
I still stay staying in Minnesota. Now, that comes with the caveat of they have to keep Justin Jefferson. and under contract. But the familiarity that he has with their offense and Kevin O'Connell, and we know that everything like the details of all that matters to Kirk Cousins. He's made a ton of money. So the best place for Kirk Cousins is for him going to be staying in Minnesota. If not, they are the one team that has to be aggressive in the draft and go up.
All right, how about Baker Mayfield? What is the ideal situation for him?
Yeah, I still say staying in Tampa Bay. Liam Cohen comes over as his offensive coordinator, who he has a past with. I think they need to keep Mike Evans for this to become a reality, but with this offensive line playing the way that they did, if they keep Mike Evans and they have Chris Godwin and Kate Otten, their young tight end, Baker Mayfield can repeat with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as division champions, certainly as the favorites through the offseason. I think home for him should stay in Florida.
Yeah, they won a playoff game last year. They were in it with the Lions. And then let's talk about Russell. What's the ideal situation for Russ Wilson?
Clarity. I don't know the team, Greeny, but clarity of what exactly is going to happen. I think we all know that Denver is going to move on from him. When does that happen? And then how does the other dominoes of a Kirk Cousins and a Baker Mayfield impact? Obviously, the team, the New Englands, the Pittsburghs, the Atlantas are going to be in that conversation, but I think he is so far down the domino list that at least clarity of what his future potentially looks like is the most important.
Well, we're talking about Russell Wilson today. Mike T, you have a feeling we're going to be talking about him for a while.
Yeah, June 1st, and I take the over, and here's why. When they gets cut next week, he's owed $39 million, and he's going to take some of these visits to the teams that Dan just said, and he's going to say, great, what do you have for me for 2025 guarantees? They're going to say zero, and he's going to sit there and say, hey, I'm closing in on $300 million. Why would I go sign with a team now to get the exact amount of money I would get if I didn't do anything? Therefore, Greeny, to me, this is one of the most fascinating dynamics. 2 years ago, this guy's on the trajectory to the Hall of Fame, and now he may retire or not play this year because he's going to get paid the same money to play or not play.
No shot.
That's the question, is would he want to go out like this? Hawk, what do you think of the whole thing?
Yeah, I disagree. I don't see him retiring. I think this is one of those years where we will see, okay, what does Russell Wilson really want his legacy to be? And that being said, I think the quote-unquote damage to his career is grossly overstated. When you watch last year's film, and Dan and I will go every week and talk about the Denver Broncos wide receivers who couldn't get open and beat man-to-man, how the play calling, where they were sending route combinations that weren't conducive for the offense they were doing, and with all of that, Russell Wilson still had a really good year. If you watch the film, he is not some over-the-heel, can't-do-anything quarterback. That is just not the case. And I do think he's a viable option for a team looking for a starter with the experience that Russell Wilson has.
Well, so Dan, let's talk about those teams. Again, you just came back from Indy, which is the rumor, you know, central.
Yeah.
And there's only one Kirk Cousins. Only one team is going to get him. And then suddenly the market on Justin Fields isn't so good, et cetera. What does the world look like for Russell right now?
I mean, this was not a name you heard much at the combine. Like, I don't think he's going to be, like, the top choice for someone. You know what I mean? I think if you look at teams like, if you look at the Raiders, you look at the Patriots, tell me which of these teams doesn't get a guy in the draft, mm-hmm. right? And then maybe they pivot to Russell Wilson, maybe because the quarterback they took in the draft was like a second or third rounder and he needs time, so Russell starts. Now, you know, that kind of thing. So to Mike T's point, I think it's something that could drag past next week. I don't think he signs next Tuesday.
I still find it fascinating. He's going to play this year, but I love Baker Mayfield. No one's championed him more than I, and I think obviously resurrected his career. Numbers-wise, production-wise, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson had a relatively similar season. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Baker Mayfield maybe getting $80 million guaranteed dollars, and Russell Wilson might not play.
Well, he's younger, right?
And he doesn't have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans performance-wise last year. I don't understand the correlation between Russell Wilson stinks and wait, did you guys watch the tape from last year?
Yeah, there were so many things going on in Denver last year.
Now, the noise of Russell, different story.
There were a lot of different factors in that. There's noise with Baker, too, or at least there was once, and he overcame it. We'll see if Russell's able to do it. All right, more football as we go, but now let's go back to college basketball. We showed you earlier the history that was made by Caitlin Clark yesterday. She scored 35 points. And with this free throw right before halftime, she passed Pete Maravich and has now scored the most points by any men's or women's Division I basketball player in history. And after the game, she reflected on breaking the record.
It's really, like, crazy to think about. Like, honestly, if you would have told me that before my college career started, I would have laughed in your face and been like, no, you're insane. And, like, I've always been able to score the ball, but I don't think people really understand how many amazing players have come before me and like been able to score the ball and do it at such a high rate and do it for teams that are really, really good. And, you know, hopefully somebody comes after me and breaks my records and I can be there supporting them. And that's what makes the game of basketball so fun.
All right, so College Game Day's Andrea Carter joins us now from Atlanta. And look, Caitlin Clark, obviously, I mean, the world is paying attention to her in a way that may be unprecedented. But what is the right way to put into perspective what she accomplished yesterday and what she has accomplished in her career?
Well, first of all, unprecedented is an incredible word because she has done things that we simply haven't seen in college basketball, men's or women's. To me, Greeny, to put it in perspective, she is the greatest scorer college basketball has ever seen. Men's or women's, not the greatest women's basketball scorer. She is the greatest scorer in college basketball, and she is the most impactful player in college basketball. Caitlin Clark had 55,000 people show up to an exhibition game at a football stadium. She sold out 26 of 30 arenas. Some of those opponents' arenas, that was the first sellout that they've had in program history. She shoots lights out. Her game is electric. The logo threes, the way she plays, everything about Caitlin Clark has brought eyes to her and eyes to the game of college basketball. Not just women's college basketball. She's the greatest scorer and the most impactful player college basketball has seen.
Exactly right. And so there's one thing that is missing from her resume, and that is a national championship. She was so close a year ago. So for the fans, and we're going to start looking ahead now to the NCAA tournament, can she carry this Iowa team to a championship?
A championship is tough, Greeny. Caitlin Clark can carry Iowa to a Final Four. Do I think she will? I still have questions, but she can. She is that good. She is that magical. She is that electric. She gets crowds to buy into her performance. Even if people aren't Iowa fans, she starts to get the crowd to buy into her, even if they're cheering for the other team. I've seen it happen in other arenas. Listen, if she does happen to win a championship and get the first one of her career, she will be the GOAT of college basketball. The championship is keeping her from being the GOAT. She is one of the best, but if she gets a championship, she will be the GOAT. And the reason why, there are only two top 100 recruits out of the top seven scorers on this Iowa team. It's in part due to how great she is, but it's also because she does not have very much help on this team. If she wins with this team, she becomes the GOAT.
And quickly, she announced last week that she will enter the WNBA draft after this season, however it finishes up. What impact should we expect her to have on the WNBA?
An immediate impact, Greeny. Caitlin Clark will have an immediate impact on the WNBA. She's going to go to the Indiana Fever. Everybody knows that they have the number one overall pick. They'd be delusional to not take Caitlin Clark. Last season, Indiana's tickets sold for about $60. They're already selling right now for twice that amount. Selling out arenas, teams, opponents, fans will go to watch Caitlin Clark perform in the WNBA. If they're not a Caitlin Clark fan, they'll go to see if their favorite team can stop Caitlin Clark. The impact will be immediate at the next level.
All right. Thanks so much for getting up for us, Andrea. We will talk to you again soon as the history continues to be written one way or another. We also have good college basketball coming tonight on ESPN and the app. Number 10, Duke taking on NC State. And then we have Baylor hosting Texas. So the action rolls on tonight. In the meantime, he may be fast, but the action on Justin Fields is slow. We'll tell you exactly what the Bears need to do and why they need to do it right now. Next.